Now, last week I preached a message entitled When a Nation Forgets, and I got a lot of response from it, and I hope I didn't leave people thinking we were going to be hopeless because the nation forgets. You know, we talked a lot about where our nation is going and how God is all about life, and he has given us everything that pertains to life. He breathed his breath into man, and he became a living soul. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And there's nothing that God really appreciates with us more than knowing that we're living. The Bible even talks that there are some who are dead yet while they live. There was something about this Bible. It introduced life to us. Everything that God spoke, everything that God touched, everything that God called, it came to life. It began to move. It began to function and operate. And he created man and gave us an opportunity to choose which direction that we're going to go. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is not always done on earth because he has given us the authority of the earth. He wanted us to have dominion upon the earth, just like he has dominion over the whole universe and the whole creation and everything that is out there. And he wanted us to be able to have someone that could love him because they wanted to, or who could operate by desire and rather than being programmed or having a setting that they got to fly south in the winter and north in the summer, and we just got some kind of programmed activity that takes place. We get a right to choose, and I came down pretty strongly on the abortion issue. I believe that that's the one point in time, as January the 22nd on 1973, when they passed Roe versus Wade, and since that time, more than 62 million babies have been aborted, and it's just the blood. And I read to you out of Revelations in 17 about the woman who sat upon the scarlet beast, and that scarlet to me sometimes looks like blood to me, and there's a person that is seated upon that blood pile that we have established as a nation. And I left you, this is where a nation goes when it forgets where it came from, when it forgets about God. And the Bible tells us there is a King of Kings. You know, England would have a king, or Morocco may have a king, or Scotland can have a king, or the United States could have a president that represents a king, somebody with power. It doesn't matter how they come into power, whether they're voted in or they inherit it. They're just going to be a king of some nation. They're going to be a king of some place. But my Bible tells me about a King of Kings. No matter what nation they're over, they're going to have a crown. They're going to represent a place of kingship. But I want you to know that there is one other person is going to be seen. And the Bible said upon him sat many crowns. Hallelujah. Because he is the King of Kings. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You see, sometimes a person in power thinks that they can really do some things and they have all of this great authority. If you could get the power of the greatest nation on the planet, that would make you the greatest person. I just remember the words of Jesus when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate announced to him, "Don't you know that I have the power to let you live, and I have the power to put you to death? Don't you know the power that I have over you?" And Jesus looked at Pilate and he said, "Let me inform you, you could have no power were it not given to you by my Father which is in heaven." And I thought, oh my God, isn't that powerful today? Oh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my King of Kings. Oh, he, the one who sent the King of Kings, he wants us to know him as our Father. Oh, the King of Kings has a Father, and he said his Father is going to be our Father. He's not an abusive Father, but he is a loving father. He is a father that knows how to give good gifts unto his children. He is the father who gives his children everything that pertains to life. And it was from this throne came our King of Kings. Give the Lord praise in this house this morning. Wow. So I picked out a passage of scripture where the king gone bad. And it looks really crucial. It looks like a real crisis. And whenever you think about wicked kings, probably one of the first ones that will come to mind is King Ahab. And when we look in 1 Kings in chapter 21, I want us to see the setting here. Is Ahab has a man named Naboth that owns a vineyard, and it joins hard against his palace. And Ahab decides that he wants it. You know, that's one thing. A lot of times when a person gets power, the only thing they want is a little bit more. Amen. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and it's so convenient. And I will give for thee for it a better vineyard than it. I'll give you something far better than that. And if it seem good to thee, I'll give you thee the worth of it in money. But the only problem with it was Naboth's inheritance. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. But Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased. See what I'm telling you? All they want is just a little bit more. Because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I'll give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. That's why I'm mad. This is a grown man. This is the king. You'd be surprised probably how many people up yonder in a whole lot of power think they need a little bit more, and they deserve just a little something else, and they can't ever get enough. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat some bread, let thy heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with the king's signet. And it goes forth, and she tells the men to put Naboth at the front. I don't care if you don't catch anybody else not involved with the fast. I want to make sure that Naboth is involved with this fast because it's going to be his detriment. I know exactly what he's going to do. I know he's not going to go along with our plans and with what we impose, but we're going to fix it whenever he goes against the king. There's one answer when you defy the king, and that is to be put to death. The fatal fast. She wrote letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial. That's liars. Thank goodness we don't have none of those in our Congress. Before him to bear witness against him. We don't care if it's true or not. We just want it to sound like it's true. That thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die, and the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letter which she had sent unto them, and they proclaimed the fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and he is dead. The reason I had the verses of 2 Kings up there added to it is because they actually took him out. And in 2 Kings, it tells that they had stoned not only Naboth, but they had to stone his sons because there could not be anybody else to inherit it, because an inheritance would just keep going down the line. So here is what has taken place. They've taken out Naboth because he wouldn't participate in the fast. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons. This is the Lord saying, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him in the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. In other words, this is the verse that tells us that they took all of the descendants. Naboth, it will be remembered no more. Nobody to carry on his lineage. Nobody to carry on his line. Nobody to keep his family name alive. And they just sent it out. It became the gift of Gore. See verses 15 and 16. She comes in and she gives it to Ahab. Came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but he is dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that he arose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. I'm looking and I'm seeing a king. I'm seeing the queen. I'm seeing the people in power. And here's a subject. Here's somebody that's beneath them. But they abuse their power. And they take advantage of this man. And they have him put to death. And they have his children put to death. And then they take the gift of Gore, which becomes Naboth's vineyard. And she comes and brings this gift to Ahab and says, this is your present from your wife today. I took care of everything. All you got to do is go down and enjoy Naboth's inheritance. Oh, I'm looking at this picture. I'm looking at this scenario, and I'm thinking, dear God, where are you? Where is God? Have you ever come to a place in your life that was so devastating that you thought, where is God? I think of David and a little stone, and Goliath comes down. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, and they walk out without even the smell of smoke. I think of Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and the next morning he's having to comfort the king and say, oh, king, live forever. Oh, but God has shut the mouths of the lion. And I think of all of the miracles, and I think of all of the power and how God intervenes and how God steps in. But here's a story. Where is God? Where's God? If you'll be honest, probably every believer in this place this morning has come to a place in your life and you ask that same question. I want to tell you something. I want to submit that I just stopped by Spirit of Life this morning to tell you, he's still where he's always been. And I want to tell you something else. how many other people, although you've made the statement, where is God? But how many of us have come through it and come out of it, and we got a better understanding of who God is, and we were stronger than we ever thought we could ever be. And it was in our moment of distress and our moment of devastation that we found power that we didn't know was available, and we found out that God will still never leave you or forsake you, my God. Then there's a word of wisdom God sends Elijah by. I want you to go tell Ahab that I saw everything that went on in verses 17 through 19. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria, because he is in the vineyard. Oh, you want to know where God is? Not only is he where he is, but he knows exactly where you are. He right now, just go on down there right now. He's in the vineyard. Whither he is gone down to possess it. I mean, he just got there. Ain't that something? Boy, you just did something. Had a man killed, his children killed, his family killed. You got the vineyard. And time as you walked in it, here comes an aggravating preacher. And he's down there, and thou shalt speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Like God didn't know. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, Naboth in a vineyard far better than the vineyard you just took. I'm just reading between the lines now. I've got Naboth in my care. I've got his boys with me. They're all celebrating. But I just sent Elijah by to let you know that in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And God let him deal with it for 3 years. And there comes a Syrian army, and they're going to fight against Ahab. And Ahab goes out and gets Jehoshaphat, this over Judah, and tells him, I want you to come in and fight with me. And the king of Syria said, I don't want you fighting with Jehoshaphat. The only king I want you fighting against is Ahab. God's done set up an army. My Lord, you want a vineyard? I'm sending an army your way. This is so cool. I don't have time to read it all, but I have to tell you about it. And Jehoshaphat comes, and he asks Ahab. He said, man, said you got any prophets of the Lord around here? Ahab said, oh, got plenty of them, plenty of them, plenty of them. Bible said he brought 400 prophets. Can you imagine Jehoshaphat? And you sitting there trying to hear from God, and he brings you 400 prophets, and they all say, go up and forbear. And out of 400 went by, Jehoshaphat asked this wonderful question. Is there not a prophet of God in Israel? Isn't it amazing how people in power just want everybody to say what they want to hear? Oh, my Lord, I think we could have wrote this on America. But it's not America, but that's why it's put in here, so we can get understanding. Do you see? He said, is there not a prophet? And he said, well, there's the one, I got him in prison. He's named Micaiah. And they brought Micaiah in there, and they told him on the way down. He said, now, everybody else has prophesied good toward the king, and you better say what he wants to hear.
So Micaiah comes in, he says exactly what the rest of them said. God forbear, God's given it to you, it's all yours. Ahab said, see there, I told you. He said the same thing, and now Ahab is upset because he said the same thing everybody else said. And he said, now tell me what God really said. He said to tell you that you go into battle and you're going to come back dead. So Ahab tells Jehoshaphat, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put on my costume. Ain't nobody going to know me. You look like the king, and I'm just going to come along into the battle, and I'm going to have a costume on. Nobody's going to know it's me. And I'm going to prove this prophet wrong. Ain't that sweet? But you see, there's an aimless, nameless bow man. Now that's a man with a bow and arrow. And they go into battle, and when the army of Syria comes up and they see Jehoshaphat, they said, the king said not to fight against Jehoshaphat. We can't fight against him. Let's go back. Call it to retreat. Everybody, let's go. We don't have anything. We came to fight Ahab. Ahab's not even here. So they start to leave. And an aimless, nameless bow man says, I ain't leaving without shooting one arrow. And just like the stone that David threw at Goliath, the spirit took that arrow and carried it to the man in the costume and hit him, and he slumped in his chariot. 3 years has passed since Elijah walked up behind him and said, the dogs are going to lick your blood. Ahab said, I got it planned out. I've got a costume. Nobody will know it's me. And if I do get shot, the dogs that licked Naboth's blood is not going to lick my blood. I don't care. If God said it, it'll be wrong. But what happens when he died in the chariot? They took his chariot down and they washed his blood out by the pool of Samaria, and right where the prophet of God said the dog was going to lick his blood, the dogs licked his blood. I'm just telling you, friend, I don't care who we get for president. I don't care who the king is. I just want you to know there is a King of Kings. Hallelujah. And now, but you know, Jezebel didn't die. It's going to be 17 more years. Elijah done gone to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha is done took over the reins of the prophets. And Elisha goes down to Jehu for justice, the son of Nimshi. In 2 Kings 9, 1 through 3. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said to him, gird up thy loin, take the box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee. And tarry not. When you anoint him, get out of his way. The watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Read that with me. For he driveth furiously. Hey, Lord. I don't know if you can break the law with a chariot and a horse. But he, the man who anointed him, Elisha said, get out of his way. He'll run over you. And now they know it's him because he's the craziest driver they've ever seen. He's not texting. He's focused, but he's driving furiously. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. Throw her down. This boy crazy, y'all. So they threw her down. Some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her on the foot. He just took, fell and done got blood on my horse and just run right over. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink, just sat down at the table. Good Lord, y'all. He said, but now this cursed woman, go out and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. We got to show her some respect. And they went out to bury her, but they found no more than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hand. In other words, the dogs done had lunch. And the only thing the dogs wouldn't eat was the skull that devised the plan to murder Naboth. The feet that carried the letter that brought about his demise. And the palms of her hands that signed with Ahab's signet. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah's already gone in the whirlwind, but he said it by the servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. In Revelations chapter 19, I got to go. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head, say it with me, were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture. Oh, this is how we're going to know who he really is. Hallelujah. See, we got leaders that have blood dripping off of their hands, but we've got a King of Kings who was clothed in a vesture dipped with blood. It was his own blood. It wasn't the blood of the innocent. It wasn't the blood of somebody else. It wasn't Naboth's blood. It was his own blood that he dipped his vesture in. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we did behold him as the only begotten of the Father. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Say it with me. His name written is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in this place this morning? I just want you to know it doesn't matter how great they think they are. There's always going to be a King of Kings, and there's always the one who could say to Pilate, you don't have any power over me except it's given to you by my Father. So we don't have to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the terror that comes by night, because we are protected and we are shielded by the goodness of the King of Kings. Give him praise in this house and bless his name.
I love you this morning. God loves you. Fellowship before you leave. You are dismissed. And God is so good.